Hey guys, this is Pastor Zach, and you are listening to Sermon Notes here at HPC.
This morning, a couple weeks ago, the Lord started to bring me back towards kingdom math. Just as a basic reminder, a few years ago, I preached a sermon, and we talked about kingdom math and how the Lord was changing how we saw math in the kingdom of heaven, okay? Who was here for that? Anybody? Okay. Anybody? All right, cool. I got a few. All right. Cool. All right. So just walk with me. There's a place here that, as Pastor Zach started talking this morning and stomping all through my message, I leaned over to Nicole. I was like, he's preaching my message. What is happening right now? All right. I find that there's a place in us that has begun to hold on to certain things. Because we feel like that shouldn't have happened to me. We feel like that shouldn't have been my lot. And so we begin to hold on to that thing in our soul. Me and my wife were even talking about it this morning, and she talked about unforgiveness robbing you of something, okay? Unforgiveness when it, and a resentment when it sits inside of you, it's actually a divider when you allow it to rest, okay? And the thing that I found, sorry, whoever's on camera, I'm really sorry. I love you, Lori and Donovan, I'm sorry, okay. What I found is that so often, right, just like our Father in heaven, right, he takes what the enemy means for evil, and I know a lot of Christians that take that and take it from bad to worse. They get their hands on it. They get their mouth on it. And instead of taking the thing that the enemy meant for evil and being like your father and turning it for good, you become like the enemy because you hold on to the unforgiveness and the resentment. And so instead of being like your father, you're putting things you think under your feet, but it's not. It's not actually there. I want to prove to you, I keep going back to Job. He keeps bringing me back there. And the friends at the very end of that story, the friends are cursed. Why? Because they do not speak right of God. That blows my mind. They, most of the time, were talking about Job, not about God. But God still comes back and says, they did not speak well of me. Pray, have Job pray for you, because you did not speak right of me. And there's a curse that comes along with that. And so I want to go back to the place that we understand that the Lord is not very good at adding. That multiplication is what he's looking for in the kingdom. Amen? Okay, I'm going to get you. Y'all are quiet today, okay? But I'm going to get you. Lucas, you got my back, bro? Fives. All right, okay. All right, even though it's math class, I'm sorry, okay? And this is why I don't want you to leave. I remember Danielle Carmichael, when I first preached that message, was like, I'm out. It's math. I'm gone, okay? But I want you to stick through it with me, and I really think we'll be out of here quick. We'll be out of here pretty quick. Anytime Pastor Zach says that, he takes like an extra 20 minutes. It's perfect. Okay. Pastor Zach often refers to what's in the valley versus what's on the mountain. And so often we don't want to go to the valley spaces, but there is sustenance in the valley that you will not find on the mountain. There's sustenance in the low place that you cannot find in some of the higher places. And so you've got to be able to go to that place and yield yourself to it. Amen? All right, let's open our Bibles. I'm telling you, friends, I've really been begging the Lord, really been begging him to change our minds this morning about how we think of him, how we see him, how we interact with him and his presence, and that we would no longer be affected by the lie of the enemy when he tries to get us to do earthly math from a kingdom position, okay? And so the Lord said this to me the other day, and we'll walk this out, But just a couple weeks ago, he said to me, Jamal, two wrongs don't make a right, but two negatives can make a positive. Okay, we're going to walk through it. Don't jump ship, okay? Don't jump ship, okay? Because in our minds, we'll start here. In our minds, we think that a negative 5 and a negative 3, when you put them together, make a negative 8, right? Because we add. But the Lord multiplies. And when you take that negative 3 and you put it together in multiplication with the negative 5, what do you get? A positive 15. And so I want to take a couple of steps through, and I don't want to excuse what happened to you. Me and my wife keep talking about this thing. I'm not excusing what happened to you, because the two wrongs do not make it right. But if you can find the place of your negative and multiply it by your own negative, we'll walk there, then you will not only flip it to a positive, you play the reverse card on the enemy, but you don't lose any ground in the process either. Come on, friends. You lose nothing in the process, because there is no waste at his altar. So when you lay it down on the altar, you find that he can use anything. He can use anything. He can use anything. Let's go to Genesis 37. Hallelujah. God, we thank you that you are powerful enough that the enemy can't make something that you can't use. We thank you that he just twists what you do. He has no creative power. We thank you that you are all powerful, and we pray that you would forgive us in the places that we think the enemy can rival you. We repent for that place. In Jesus' name. All right. We're going to talk about Joseph for a few minutes. All right. Let's go to verse 18. It says, when they saw him from a distance, so this is Joseph's brothers, and before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. They said to one another, here comes this dreamer. Now then, come and let us kill him and throw him into one of the pits. And we will say, a wild beast devoured him. Then let us see what will become of his dreams. But Reuben, the oldest, heard this and rescued him out of their hands and said, let us not take his life. Reuben further said to them, shed no blood. Throw him into this pit that is in the wilderness, but do not lay hands on him, that he might rescue him out of their hands to restore him to his father. So it came about when Joseph reached his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic, the very colored tunic that was on him, and they took him and threw him into the pit. Now the pit was empty without any water in it. They sat down to eat a meal. As they raised their eyes and looked, behold, a caravan of Ishmaelites was coming from Gilead, with their camels bearing aromatic gum and balm and myrrh, on their way to bring them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is it for us to kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him, for he is our brother, our own flesh. And his brothers listened to him. Then some Midianite traders passed by, so they pulled him up and lifted Joseph out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus, they brought Joseph into Egypt. I want to read this verse because we get confused sometimes here. Now Reuben returned to the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. So he tore his garments. He returned to his brothers and said, the boy is not there. As for me, where am I to go? Jump down to verse 36. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, Pharaoh's officer, the captain of the bodyguard. No, it's a lot of scripture, and we've read this this story before. Most of us have gone through this, like Pastor Zach has preached us through it. But I just want to hit really quick. First of all, we always say that his brothers sold him into slavery. That's not true. His brothers were going to, seemingly, right? Reuben was trying to bring him back. But the Midianites actually pick him up out of the pit and sell him into slavery, not his brothers, okay? But I want you to see, right, there's a place in me that I had to wrestle with the Lord here that I have felt in so many ways. I've called Pastor Zach, I can't tell you how many times, betrayed by who were supposed to be my brothers. And there's a part of that that I held on to. And I actually think that there's a part of that that we hold on to in the church. It's part of why we repeat that, because we feel like we sit in some of the same places being betrayed by our brothers. And we've taken that and we've let that sit in us. And so we pull back from our brothers. We pull back from the community that we're supposed to be a part of because we feel like the negative has pushed us away and there's no way to redeem that. Friends, I'll say it to you again, God multiplies. And so when you take that negative and you flip it back on them, there's a reverse card that's played there and you lose nothing. Amen? All right, okay. Let's see. The Lord gave me just a couple of basic examples. So we're going to do this real quick. Sam, come for me real quick. Yeah, sure. It doesn't matter. They'll catch you. Give it up for Sam, everybody. All right. Sam, I want you to do me a favor. Just drop and give me like 10 push-ups. All right, yeah, that's great. Thank you, sir.
That's it?
Yep. I was gonna call Pastor Zach because I'm like, you know, never mind. I want to keep my job. All right, I love you. Where is Jacob Sear here? Where's Jacob? Jacob Sear, is he here? Where's Jacob? Is he in here? Come on down, bruh. Come on down. Get it. Now, Jacob did a challenge during the year. Come on up, bro. Man, my other nephew. Okay, he did a challenge during the year doing push-ups, okay? Push-ups and memorizing scripture. Give me 50 push-ups, bro. You guys don't have to count them all. Somebody can, though. Somebody pay attention. Alex, keep them honest, okay? I want you to see this, my friends, because see, what's happening is he has put himself in a negative positioning, in a position of resistance and of tension. And because he has done that, he can now come in the moment, instant in and out of season, he can drop down. He's getting there. You can tell he hasn't quite been doing them since he stopped doing the challenge, because otherwise he would have been already done with it. How many more you got? How many more? Come on. He got it. His arm's going to be hurting later. 48. 49. This is what I want to tell you. I probably could have done 10, okay?
Thank you.
You could go back. You could, okay? I want you to see something, that they place themselves in a place of resistance ahead of time so that when they step into a situation where they need to be strong, they can bear the weight of the moment. So many Christians don't want to go through the valley. They don't want to experience any resistance. And I heard that I was talking to the Lord about how his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But any burden is a heavy burden for somebody who's never carried anything. I'll say it again. Anything that you pick up is heavy when you don't carry anything on a regular basis.
I cannot tell you how many pianos and organs that I have picked up with Pastor Zachary Thomas Lenz. Probably how I got my hernia in the first place is moving pianos with him, okay, over the years. And now when he says, Jamal, let's move this keyboard, I'm like, praise God from whom all the blessings flow. Because I have worked so hard pulling the piano and pulling the organ that now the keyboard seems like nothing. The burden is light. Because I've experienced the resistance and I actually let it build something inside of me instead of let it shut me down. Okay. Joseph, whether because of his brother's hands or in spite of his brother's hands, still ends up at Potiphar's house. There was almost nothing that he could do about it. And again, us as Christians will go there and we'll stop working as hard because we feel like God put us in a bad position. Do you know the Bible again and again says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Wait, God, in the pit? And the Lord was with Joseph. He goes to Potiphar's house and Potiphar puts everything in his care besides what he's eating. And he says, and the Lord was with, he's a slave, and the Lord was with Joseph. Friends, the part that I wrestled with Holly about as we were talking about it, right, because the numbers game is kind of weird, and she said, why do two negatives equal a positive? That doesn't even make sense. I'm like, actually, that's a really good question. And if you need a deeper explanation, find Colton Carmichael and ask him. He's the math teacher at King's, so he'll help you out, right? But essentially what happens is that if you have a negative number that you begin with, what you need to see is a directional change. When you multiply by a negative, you have changed the direction, repented, right? That's repentance. You've literally reversed the direction of it. And I said, Lord, how is it? I hate that concept, that, right, that the two negatives equal the positive. How? So if I already have a negative, Lord, what do I multiply that by in order for it to become positive every single time? I want to master this equation so that I never have to think about this again. And he said, Jamal, the negative that you add is surrender. When you take the negative situation that's been in your life, when you take the person, the brother that betrayed you, and you take that negative and then you bring it to the Lord, because there's no waste at the altar, and you literally open your hand in surrender, not just because you come up to the altar because we're singing that song and it just blesses your life and you want to come up here and weep, but then you go back to your seat with the same thing in your hand. Because when you do that, you hold it to yourself and it no longer makes a positive. It just remains negative. Do you got where I'm at? Everybody's okay? I know, okay? Me, as a smart aleck a little bit, I say, well, Lord, what happens if you give me a positive? I said, well, what if I offer my surrender to it? And he said, oftentimes, again, we take the positive and we try to negate it. We try to push it aside and push it out. If you will take your positive and you multiply it by your negative attitude, you'll always get a negative. If you can take your positive and multiply it by gratitude, you will always get a positive. Come on, friends, there's something in it that if you can see this reverse card thing, I'm telling you, Nicole plays a lot of games, right? The reverse card is serious business. In Uno, I have played with this group right here, and there's something about the reverse card that's just like, bah! Especially when you can stack on stack on stack on stack. Friends, I'm telling you, every negative in your life is actually building resistance. and it's building muscle inside of you so that when you step into the situation and you are surrendered, it always becomes positive. All right. All right. I want you to see something, one more thing, and then I'm done. I went and got this morning. I woke up in the middle of the night just last week. It's like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, Lord, please leave me alone. I just want to sleep. And this is what I saw. Just like this. I saw a slingshot get pulled back. And he said to me, Jamal,
that's the negative. You feel like you got pulled back. You feel like you took a few steps back. That's the negative in your life, that I didn't start where everybody else did. So I got pulled back. The tension that starts to pull you back, and all you've got to do to turn that negative into something that you can use, a weapon that you can use, is surrender.
I'm telling you, friends, if you can get this thing, the Lord wants to launch you and catapult you into places that you never thought possible, but you have held the negatives onto yourself for so long that they've actually become part of you. Kim was saying last week, I think it was, that we're going up a mountain. You cannot get to the next level with all the crap that you still have on this one. Take the negative, the thing that you feel like is not actually useful for you. God can use anything. And if you will take the tension and let it rip, there's no telling where you can go. Hallelujah. Girl, like, this dude is crazy. I was saying to my wife, after a while, you get to the place where there's so little of you left that the Lord can just put you in line. He didn't have to back you off anymore. He can just put you in line, put a little pressure behind you, and there's no telling where you can go. Every place that you feel like is lacking, there's no telling how far you can get when you just get out of the way and allow the pressure of God to catapult you and launch you forward into anywhere. God, I'll go anywhere because I'm out of the way. I'm out of the way. I'm out of the way. And so you can launch me anywhere. I want to tell just a few quick stories. I felt a Pastor Mike kind of anointing, you know what I'm saying? Good night of living. I want to tell a few stories. Number one, the Lord brought me back to Pastor Zach talking about his father and coming to the place of surrendering the loss of his father. And this brings me right back to the word that he was, that there's an obituary that some of you stopped growing that date. And it wasn't your obituary, it was somebody else's. And you stopped growing because you held on to the hurt and the pain of that place that you felt like you lost them too early or under the wrong circumstance. Pastor Zach said that he found a place where he began to thank God. Where he started to thank God, understanding that the Lord wanted to be the better father and be the father that he should be like. Last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was talking to Wendy Lynn Palazzi. And she's in a rough space right now. I love that woman to death. I love watching her come in here when she's, da, 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 my God. And I mean, I've literally seen her in the cafe run in her heels. What? Because she's got to catch that song. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Okay, that is serious. You really love that song. Okay. And she's going through a rough space right now. And you know what she said? I was standing with Heather. And she said she's gotten to the place where she just doesn't care anymore. If you're around her, you're just going to hear about Jesus. With with death seemingly knocking on her door, she's knocking on everybody else's with life. Because she has decided, I don't care how negative it is, I'm just gonna surrender my hand, and everything that I've got, you can have it. Up to my life, you can have it all. Lastly, my little one. Some of you know what she's been through, and some of you don't. It's fine. And she went through a procedure a couple weeks ago, and a fairly normal procedure. And she came home, and she was in a lot of pain. And so she's crying, and I mean bawling. And she said, Papa, I wish I didn't have to go through the fire. That little six-year-old girl looked at us and said, I wish I didn't have to go through the fire. And I literally heard some of your hearts in this room. It's like the Lord snapped me into this room, and I heard some of your hearts say, Lord, I wish, Papa, I wish I didn't have to go through the fire. And just a little while later, she had calmed down and come back to herself. And she said, but if I didn't go through it, I wouldn't know you. A six-year-old. Hear what I'm telling you, friends. No, we don't want to go through the fire. But he's building something up in you. So that when somebody says, drop and give me 50, you can just pump them out real quick. Because you've experienced the negative and said, Lord, I'm just going to surrender. I'm just going to give it back to you. I'm going to let my bread go out on the water, and in many days it'll come back. Would you stand with me? Friends, I want you to understand this. The negative positioning puts you in the maximal potential for the glorification of God. I'll say it again. The negative positioning, when you combine it with your surrender, puts you in the perfect spot to glorify God. Do not steal the opportunity for God to be glorified.
Come on.
Just because you don't want to go through the hard place.
Come on.
Lord, we thank you. We thank you that sometimes we go through the fire and we get burned and we surrender it to you. And we thank you that sometimes we go through the fire and you're standing there and we don't smell like it on the other side. You would never even know that we'd been there. We surrender it all to you. Every relationship, every friendship, every call, every broken dream, everything we feel like we didn't get, we surrender it to you. Because we know that you can take anything and turn it for good. We know that everything you touch is good. There's no bad, there's no malice, there's no evil in you. Everything you touch is good. So my friends, let him touch you today. Let him touch every broken place, every negative place, every place that you feel like is subpar. Let him touch it today, and he'll turn it for his good.
This is Pastor Zach, and you've been listening to HPC Sermon Notes. Love you guys. God bless you, and have the best day of your life.